Well, it's good to see you all. And you've asked me to look into this word dispensation. Well, it is a word which very few Christians really know anything about. It seems to many Christians this is almost a dirty word. As a Christian, I didn't even meet this word dispensation for many years. But when I did, it really made the Bible come really very sensible and orderly. Now, I'd like if you opened up your Bible, please, to Paul's letter to the Ephesian Christians, Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And let's look at two places here in chapter 1 and one in chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll read verses 9 and 10. Now, I'm reading from the New King James. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. This is God's predetermined will. Now, verse 10. That in the dispensation, here's the word, it's a biblical word. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together to one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. That is God's purpose all in all. Now go to chapter 3. Go to chapter 3 and look at verse 2. Chapter 3 and verse 2. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, and Paul is a prisoner of the Lord in verse 1. Verse 2, if indeed you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, that is one of the dispensations, the dispensation of grace. What does it mean? Well, it's a period of time which God works in a certain way. Now there's seven dispensations. I know that sounds very orderly, but that's what it is. It's the way in which the Lord is beginning to unfold his purposes, stage by stage, period by period, all different, but a progressive revelation of the Lord. For example, he begins with creation, and he ends with the creation of a new earth and a new heaven, right at the very end. And the seven periods of history, that's what a dispensation is a period of history which God comes in and begins to unfold his general purposes. Now let's look at another two. You're not far, well, we look at three. You're not far from Colossians. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Now you may find you have a different word here. Colossians chapter 1. And in verse 25, Colossians chapter 1, verse 25, you'll find a different word here, but it means the same. Paul says here in verse 25, chapter 1 of Colossians, he speaks about serving the Lord, the church, of whom I became a minister according to the stewardship. Now that's another word meaning the same. A stewardship from God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God as stewardship or a period of history in God's dealings. Each one is different than another. Now that's Colossians 1, you've got the word stewardship. It also means an economy. God works in a certain way in his economy for history, and then he continues to unfold a bit more in a different dispensation or economy or stewardship. Well, that may not be all that easy. Now, what I'm going to have a look at now is if you go back to 1 Corinthians and see the similar word, 1 Corinthians 9. We let the Bible speak for itself, otherwise you think it's man's invention. It's not man's invention. It's God's revelation. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and look at verse 17. Verse 17, you've got the same word stewardship again. It means Economy, it means dispensation. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 17. For if I do this willingly, he's talking about preaching the gospel in verse 16, I have a reward. But if against my will, I've been entrusted with a stewardship. The Lord has entrusted him with the revelation. What is that? We found in Ephesians, it's the dispensation of grace. That is the church age. The church age is one of these dispensations of God. It's one of the ways God is working and unfolding his purposes in Revelation. So it's a continuing unfolding of the Lord's seven stages of history, seven periods of history, and they're all different. Now I'm going to tell you what they are right now. What are these dispensations? Excuse me. The dispensations. All right. Well, here's the first one. First dispensation of the Bible. We'll go a bit more into it in a moment. The first one is at creation itself, the creation of the universe and the creation of man. And it's a creation of innocence. There was a period of time when Adam and Eve were innocent until they chose to disobey God and the fall came in. So that's the period of history called innocence. That's the first dispensation of innocence. When up to the fall, Adam and Eve were innocent and they walked in fellowship with God all the way through. They met him in the cool of the evening in the garden. And then we know in chapter 3 in verse 15 of Genesis, there was a promise of a seed of the woman, Israel, who will bruise the head of the serpent, Satan. So in other words, the fall came in after creation. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. But there was a wonderful promise of salvation to come all those thousands of years on, like when Jesus came. So this is the dispensation of innocence. It was a period of history, a period of time. Then came a change because of the fall. Then came the change called a dispensation of conscience. And it goes through up to the time of the flood. Men began to call on the name of the Lord, and they had a conscience after the fall. They knew whether they would choose good or evil. The human race is divided in the godly line and the ungodly line, as we know that. I won't go into that now. The godly line of Seth and the ungodly line of Cain. So this particular age of conscience ended in great wickedness and therefore the promise of the flood. So the age of conscience came in from the fall itself in Genesis right through the later chapters when there's a promise of the flood, you know, Noah, all that's involved between chapter 4 to 9. And we know that that particular age, we know that ended in great wickedness. Now, it's interesting that every one of these dispensations, every one of these periods of history that God is dealing with and unfolding his purposes always ends in a judgment. Now, isn't that interesting? Let me think about that. The judgment came in the age of innocence when Adam and Eve were banished from the garden and prevented from going back in. That was a judgment on them. Then, of course, coming through to the age of conscience, coming through to the flood, that, of course, was obviously a judgment. On the vast majority of humanity, only eight survived in the ark, we know. Then we came to the next stage, which is human government, which began when the Lord gave instructions to Noah about how life should be. He told them, in fact, well, you can eat meat now, but not before. The flood brought him many changes. So from the flood time to the Tower of Babel, Genesis 9 up to chapter 11, there was a period of human government. Now, God made a covenant with Noah, and he said he would never again destroy the earth with water. Second Peter tells us it's going to be destroyed by fire. That's later on. So the big changes that took place after the flood, where you had summer and winter, you had spring, you had autumn. There were changes because of the firmament as the protection against the ultraviolet light. The waters flew in onto the earth, and the great flood, as you know, from underneath and from above. You know that as well, don't you? So that human government followed on when there was total annihilation of humanity at the flood, and only eight were saved in the ark. So from the flood to the Tower of Babel, there was a human government. There will be no more flood to destroy the earth, and they could eat meat, and there was requirements of justice. It was instructed that if a person takes a life, he forfeits his own. Human government was to act on that plan of God. If a man killed another man, he was to lose his life. That ought to be so now. So big changes came in human government. Now, the human government came on through to the Tower of Babel. And because they wanted to exalt mankind to reach heaven, as it were, on their own, the Lord says, I'm not having that. So obviously he caused great conflict. He caused nations, different languages, and he confused the Tower of Babel and all that they were planning. Well, you know about that, don't you? So there was a corrupt form of worship, of course, that came in. Worship of terrible things at the Tower of Babel. False religions came out of this, by the way. So God intervened there by confusion. That was a judgment again at the, if you like, the end of human government. Not quite the end, because it's, you see, you can carry on these different parts like human government right through until now, of course. Then you come on to the next one, where you've got the Lord's choice of Abraham. That's a new one again. So each one of these have had judgment. Judgment from the Garden of Eden. Judgment at the flood. Judgment on the Tower of Babel. Each of these had clear judgment from God because of their wickedness. Now here we have a change, because God had the plans to purpose a nation of Israel by calling Abraham, or Abraham, from Genesis chapter 12. And that goes right through in the bit of an early history of Israel, right through to the Exodus in chapter 14, coming out of that particular first Passover. So God chose one family up in Ur, family of Abraham and his father-in-law, Aaron, and they were to come out, didn't know where they were going, and the Lord was going to direct them down to Canaan, which is now, of course, Israel. So he chose his family. And there's that promise way back there in Genesis 12, 3, that in your seed, all the nations will be blessed. That's the promise of Jesus, the Messiah, salvation blessing. Way back there, 4,000 years ago now. So that was, again, a new revelation, a new period of history. Totally different than anything else. They're all different stages, all different God's economies, all different stages of his stewardship in the life of the world. Now, I didn't hear anything about these dispensations for many years as a Christian. When I first met them, I really had to get my teeth into it, because I knew nothing about it at all. But it all makes sense. So when you grasp these seven dispensations, you begin to understand God's unfolding purposes going right through from creation to the new creation of a heaven and earth, going right through. And each one of these ended in a judgment. Of course, we know that when the Hebrews were in Egypt, the judgment fell on Egypt, didn't it? And they were released, the Hebrews were released to go to Canaan, which then became Israel, we know. So in each of these, and when we come through to Jacob's family of 12 sons, my, wasn't there evil there? Look what they did to Joseph. Even there, the Lord was very displeased with what happened. So even there, there was a moral failure of the sons of Jacob. Jacob was a bit of a cunning twister. That's what his name means, a cunning twister. And he deceived others, and others, Laban deceived him about his two wives. You know that. So there was this age which ended in a moral failure, going right through, of course, to the Exodus. But then, of course, you had the revelation, and it's the revelation of law. Well, that next is the next stage, you see. When God called the nation of Israel into existence, he then gave them his law. What the law did was to reveal man's failure, that's true, but also reveal God's holy character and his demands for right living, which, of course, we fail on that. So in a sense, when God revealed the Torah, or the law, the Ten Commandments and others and many others, it shows that man was a failure. And there in that sense, there was a judgment as well. And then, as you know, Jesus came into this world. That is when the dispensation of grace started. We read in John 1, he is full of grace and truth. Law came through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus. There's a new dispensation from law to grace. No man can be saved by the law. That proved there was need for grace. You see, that's the next step up in God's unfolding revelation. It all makes sense. These dispensations give us such a clear understanding of the progressive way in which God, A, reveals himself, and B, his purposes to redeem in humanity. And when you come to the age of grace, when Jesus came, in a sense, he fulfilled the law in his own obedience to the Father, and fulfilled the law for the Jewish people. You and I live by conscience. That's true. The law was given to the Jews. Romans will tell you that. So when Jesus came, the law brought a judgment. And where did that judgment fall? On Jesus. That judgment of God at the end of the dispensation of law, judgment came on Jesus who died for our sins. So that's clear. So then, you see, the church began. Now, those who think the church began way back in Abraham or even back in Adam, that's nonsense. The church began on that special day in Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. The church wasn't here before. Jesus said, I will build my church. Future. Pentecost, that special feast. That's what he said. So therefore, the church age is a new dispensation of grace. And the law, in a sense, and its failure for man, fell on Jesus. He died for our sins. Sin is breaking God's law. Sin is disobeying him in conscience as well. So that's the church age. And that church age didn't begin before Jesus. Jesus said, I will build my church future. And that began on that special day of Pentecost. But they had a feast of Pentecost every year in the Jewish life, one of the seven feasts. And that particular one was when the Holy Spirit came in great power and initially, on the preaching of the gospel, of course, 3,000 people were saved, then another 5,000, and so the progression on through history and missions and so on. All the church age, and we are, I would suggest to you, we are really towards the very end of the church age. So what's going to be at the end of the church age? Judgment? Yes, judgment on the ungodly, unbelieving nations of the earth when Jesus comes back. According to Matthew 25 and Revelation 19, there is a destruction of ungodly Gentiles and some Jews. That, therefore, that period of the age of grace and the church age ends again with a judgment on the unbelieving world. And they will eventually be at the great white throne. So that ends from Pentecost right through to the rapture. That's the period of God's dispensation of grace or economy or stewardship of the church age, which ends at the rapture and the resurrection of the church. The church ends right there. And it ends when Jesus comes and there's a judgment on the ungodly nations. Every one of these ends in judgment. So what comes next? Well, that's number six, the age of grace, the church. The next one comes, it's the millennium. When Jesus comes back, he judges the living nations, and only believers enter the millennial reign of Christ, and we come back with him. That is the dispensation of the millennium, the reign of Christ for the 1,000 years on the earth. The second coming of the Lord, and he rules the nations with a rod of iron if need be. You get Psalm 2 on that and many others. So that is the seventh dispensation, the seventh age. So that's what it's all about. So I just want to bring one or two other things into thought here before we look at them a bit more. So a bit of a summary here I think is worthwhile. A bit of a summary. This may or may not be new to you. I don't know. But in the Bible, therefore, there is a divine history of his involvement in life in the world. He orders it in a framework of seven periods of history, seven distinct periods of history unfolding and developing in his purposes. It commences, as I said, with creation, and creation of man in particular, in the paradise, which is perfect. And then it goes right on to the very end, as I said, to the new heaven and the new earth, which is beyond even the seventh one, which is the millennium, going on indeed to the new earth and new heaven. Well, of course, I wouldn't call that a dispensation. Why not? Because every dispensation ends in judgment. The creation of the new earth and new heaven does not end in a judgment. It goes on and on and on forever. So that is not quite a dispensation. But it is a final, if you like, it's a final purpose of God. It's unfolded. It's developed from all the seven dispensations through to this finality when righteousness will dwell in a new earth and a new heaven. And that completes all that God intended to do. That's very wonderful, isn't it? So those seven dispensations, you've got one of innocence in paradise. You have the conscience after the fall right through to the flood. You had civil government when God told Noah how to rule humanity as it developed, of course, through his family. Development of law, Mosaic law. And then you had the death of Christ, the development of the new complete dispensation, the age of grace, the church age. Then after that, of course, you have the judgment of the nations and you have the development of the millennial kingdom. And you see, even there, even the end of the millennium, there is still a judgment. What is that judgment? The earth is burnt up with fire. 2 Peter 3. So it ends in judgment as well, even the millennium. And then follows a new earth and new heaven in which dwells righteousness. So that's that aspect of it as well. One or two other comments I would make on that one. And again, I will just go through those seven again to be helpful. There's a list of them here. And if you want one of this list, you can have one with pleasure. So then we first began with man's innocence in the Garden of Eden, creation. And then from Eden through to the flood, after Adam and Eve were banished and God clothed them, from Eden right through to the flood, God said, I regret even making man, you know that. There was corruption and wickedness, evil continually, God said. I wish I'd never made man. Wow, what a statement that is. And that ends with judgment as well, the flood. Then you got man in authority. God gives man, in a sense, the right to rule on the earth, human government. As you know, that's developed through the nations as well. So Noah and the population increase. Came right through, then you've got the, as you know, the Tower of Babel all happened there. Then, of course, you after that, the judgment on the Tower of Babel, we've got then God's call to Abraham to form the nation of Israel. That is man under promise. There are many, many promises in the Old Testament, as you know. Through the major prophets, through the minor prophets, God made promises. That was also not only the age of law, praise the Lord, there's an age of promise as well. That's important. Through the Old Testament, there's the age of promise as well as age of law. What was that promise? The Messiah, Redeemer, is coming. Among all the other promises, that's the major promise. The promise of a Messiah. That's what, when God called Abraham in Genesis 12, he said, out of you, with all my covenant promise with you, Abraham, giving you the land, giving you the people, you're going to be my people, going to be my nation, he says, but out of you, the seed of the earth will be blessed. The descendants that come out of the whole of the earth will be blessed, because out of you comes a blessed Redeemer. It's in Genesis 12. So that was a promise as well. Man under the law, of course, the Ten Commandments came. And the end of the age of law came the judgment. Yes, judgment. What on Jesus, as we know. So now we're in the sixth dispensation, if you like. The progression of God's working in the history of the world is man under grace. Law came through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus, John chapter 1, as I said. So we're now living in the age of the Holy Spirit, the age of the church age. Began at Pentecost and goes right through salvation. Now, not by law, it's impossible. It's salvation by faith in the Redeemer. That we know is true. And that age, church age, began at Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit came in great power. We know that. And salvation is free. You don't have to work for it. Salvation is free. That's very new. Grace, not law. And of course, that church age, as I've said, ends in the rapture. And we know from Revelation 6, this is important, Revelation 6, right through to 19 at the second coming of Christ, there are these terrible seal, trumpet, and bold judgments on the earth. That is a judgment of God on godless humanity. So the church age ends when we're raptured and resurrected out of all this, before all these terrible events come. But those are the judgments of the wrath of God. Eventually. Grace held him back. Eventually he said, now's the time. I'm going to judge this world for the godless life through many thousands of years. Now, of course, that's the great tribulation. It's called the day of God's wrath. We know that as well. And then comes this personal return of the Lord in all his power and glory. Wonderful. That is a great consummation, if you like. Then there is man's submission, because only believers enter the millennium, so they're willing to obey him. And coming under the reign of Messiah, King Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, Jewish term, and Son of David, sitting on the throne in Jerusalem. So that is man under the personal reign of Christ. That's a millennium. And he reigns from Jerusalem, as we know. There are many scriptures we could look at that, but I think you're well aware of them in any case. And it all ends eventually with the destruction of this old earth, 2 Peter 3, by fire, not by flood, by fire. And then comes the creation of a new earth and a new heaven. But before that, at the end of the millennium, before the creation of New York, there is the judgment, the final judgment of God at the great white throne. That is the final judgment. Out of all the others, every age, every dispensation, every one of God's economies or his stewardship ends in a judgment. And this is the big one. The judgment of the great white throne on all ungodly men and women, whoever they are. Jew or Gentile, among the nations, and they all end up in the lake of fire. That is the final, really final judgment on humanity at the end of the millennium. Then comes the creation of a new earth, a new heaven, perfection. Only believers enter into it, of course. righteousness prevails right through. It's the age of righteousness completely. That's the summary of the dispensations. If you want to go into the scriptures, I haven't done that now, of course. I've gone into the scriptures, I know that. But that is something which, if you wish, I could go on to. But let me just summarize this. I think we could do a summary now. When, I think you might have it in the Authorized Bible. I'm not arguing with it. I accept the Authorized Bible very well, as you know I do. But when it speaks about the end of the world, in the Authorized, it should be the end of the age. Not the end of the world. It won't be the end of the world. The end of the world will be the final conflagration spoken of in chapter 3. So really, it's the end of the final age of seven dispensations. And I said, each aspect, each section of those ages ends in a judgment. So we can understand there are those seven dispensations. We would say it's a perfect number, if you like. Well, that's the way it is. I didn't manufacture that. So I remember all these ages end in a failure, end in a judgment of God. And yet it ends in the action of God to save. Isn't that wonderful? Every aspect of these, though there's a judgment, there's still a way of salvation. That's wonderful, that is. And each one, is, if you like, is a proper meaning of the word the new age or a new dispensation, one by one. So I hope that's been a little bit of help to you. I haven't gone into too much detail. I've not looked into the scriptures, except those few for the reference. So dispensation is a biblical word. It's a biblical word. We discover that. It also means a stewardship, where God does things in a certain period of time. Then it begins to unfold into a new way. So you've got creation right back at the very beginning, and all ends up in a totally new creation in God's plans in different stages through history. I can't understand why people don't accept the logic of seven dispensations of God's continuing revelation, God's continued unfolding of his purpose, and actually telling us that. That's a wonder of it all. He's actually told us. And we find those things are very logical, if you like, if you study the scriptures. So that's it. I feel that I've said enough on that, and hope that you accept that. And if it's new to you, well, we can spend more detail on another time. But I hope that perhaps has been a little help. Dispensation is a biblical word. The sad thing is that many Christians do not accept the idea of dispensation. I am a dispensational Christian. I didn't understand it for the first X number of years as a Christian. Now it all makes sense, and it makes the Bible real. And it's different stages. And that I find is easy to understand. Otherwise, you can get a muddle and a confusion, wondering what's going to happen next. God works logically in history, and he does. So I hope that is a bit helpful.